Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are we doing?
Oh, I'm great. I feel ratings spiking all over Middle Tennessee.
Me too. Must listen to radio every single Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, what did you make of the conference championship games yesterday, particularly the one that wasn't a dud in the AFC title game between Kansas City and Cincinnati?
Well, you know, injuries are unfortunate, you know, because they ruined what should have been a really good football game. And I don't remember who it was last night. I listened to some radio host on the way home last night at like midnight. And he brought up a really good point. And when I thought about what he said, I was like, he's exactly right. And a lot of it kind of goes back to the Titans as well. He said, you know, the 49ers were not unlucky. They were not as good. And their offensive line could not protect their quarterbacks, and so they both got hurt. And so he was absolutely right. The 49ers' offensive line was just not good enough. Those, I think, were the top two defenses in the National Football League. And, you know, you saw – and what have we talked about with the Eagles all year? You know, they got the best offensive line, arguably, in the game, and that's why they are where they are. And, you know, they've got all the pieces, and they showed it. You know, the second game was, you know, a lot of what we expected it to be. I thought it would be really close. I thought the Bengals would win. You know, it's really interesting because you've got two great quarterbacks, one with a good offensive line and okay weapons, and one with really good weapons and not such a good offensive line, and it kind of played to a wash. But in the end, situational football wins out. Because someone's brain explodes and, you know, leads to a game-winning field goal.
Did you have a huge issue with the officiating in general in the Kansas City-Cincinnati game, Corey?
You know, I've read a lot this morning about everybody being really upset, and I have to tell you, I'm working on Sports Extra and watching the show at the same time. So, believe me, I did see that there were several calls that conveniently helped them in situations, but, like, I think there was a hands to the face, and I'm like, yeah, that's a good call. Pass interference here, yeah, that's a good call. So the ones I saw, I did not have a huge feeling about, but I know that there were a number of others that I did not see that other people are talking about. The last play, you have to be smarter than that. You know, situationally, you know you can't give 15 yards. You can't put them in field goal position. Can't. Now, I do understand Mahomes has a history of tiptoeing that sideline for a few extras, which I think they got to do something about. But at the same time, he was clearly out of bounds. And you can't do it, especially when he's like the number one quarterback in the league and he's already hurt. You're going to get nailed.
Corey, what do you think of, obviously, A.J. Brown, the Eagles going to the Super Bowl, Brett Kern going to the Super Bowl, a couple of former Titans there. We were talking earlier in the show, like if John Robinson was still the general manager, what our show would be like today of him being still the general manager and A.J. Brown going to the Super Bowl in his first year with the Eagles. Obviously, the circumstances have changed. What's your sense, I guess your gauge of the Titans fan base as to what the feelings are now with A.J. Brown? Is it water under the bridge? Do you think the Titans fans will be rooting for A.J. Brown in the Super Bowl? What's your sense on where that all stands?
Well, it was one of the things I wondered last night. You know, for Sports Extra, we started our show mapping out kind of, you know, how April 28th sent two teams, two franchises in two different directions. You know, one of them fired their GM and their offensive coordinator. You can link both of those to that trade. I don't think there's any question to that. And then the Eagles go to the Super Bowl. Now, AJ didn't do a ton yesterday, but he had 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns this season, so he was a huge part of their equation. So, you know, I don't want to hear that he didn't have anything to do with them going to the Super Bowl, because he absolutely did. So the other thing I just asked was a simple poll question: are you happy for A.J. Brown? And I didn't know how it would go, and it was interesting because the emotional votes came early. early on, the emotional votes of no flooded in. And I was like, wow, this is a landslide. People are still angry with him. But in the end, it turned out to be like 55% said they were happy for A.J. Brown. So I think a lot of people are past it. I think a lot of people know that both sides could have handled the situation better. But hating A.J. Brown, I don't think is going to help a darn thing. And I think also Brett Kern being there softens it for some people, and they want Brett Kern to have good things.
They want Brett Kern to have both of the rings, and A.J. did not have the one if they win. Yeah. No, that's good to hear, actually. I'm glad to hear that it was 55 happy for him. You know, like Robbie was saying earlier, hold your breath, you know, for like media day, you know. Titans questions come in and what he may say. But seems like he's done worried about throwing shade.
I wouldn't expect it all to be the truth, okay? That's all. I mean, he's got his version, and for him, that version, I'm sure, is very real. And then there's a version on the other side that's very real, and the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, but also he could just be taking shots, you know. I mean, who knows? hopefully he's done with that. So you mentioned the O-line, Corey, for the Bengals, which, of course, they had bad luck. They had more injuries. They tried to fix it last offseason, and I just thought yesterday, and of course he ended up bouncing back, making some big plays, a huge play to Chase late in the game, things like that. But I feel like this weekend was a little bit of a glimpse at the importance of offensive line play, no?
Oh, yeah. No, the whole season was, Joe. The whole season was. I said it on this show over and over again. Offensive line play was, to me, the number one story of this season. That the gap between the have and the have-nots was the Grand Canyon. There were so few teams that had superior offensive line play, and those teams moved to the top. And, you know, a lot of those teams are teams with good quarterbacks because they understood they got to protect them. And, you know, the Bengals finally made changes this year to try to protect Joe Burrow, but, you know, still not enough. I mean, they're really lucky that guy hasn't gotten hurt again. I mean, he is a gutty, tough football player who's not going to hide from anything, and he should be their quarterback for 15 or 20 years. But they're putting him on a path of insustainability, that's for sure. And the other thing I've said is, as good as Jalen Hurts has been, and he's been great, everything around him is phenomenal. And there's a lot of quarterbacks who would look really good running that system right now. But, again, I don't want to take away from how good he's been.
Corey Curtis from News 2 with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Corey, the Titans to this point still obviously have not hired an offensive coordinator. What does that signal to you about maybe what the search looks like? Do you feel like if it was as simple as Tim Kelly, he would have already been hired by now? What do you make of what we've seen, or I guess not seen, in the OC search so far?
Well, my first reaction to it was there's somebody or somebody that were playing this weekend that they wanted to talk to and they were waiting to talk to. And I don't know if that's because they're really a candidate or because they've, you know, got to talk to more people for the Rooney Rule. Or like I said, there's generally more people that they want to talk to. Because if Tim Kelly was just the guy, and believe me, I'm right on board. I think that he'll probably wind up being the guy. But you would think that he would have that job by now. But then the other question I've got is, does their decision on quarterback and what they're going to do at quarterback, do they stay with Tannehill? Do they draft somebody? Do they go after one of these free agents? Does that impact who they bring in at offensive coordinator? Because I guess that could be a possibility too. So if you're waiting on an answer from Tom Brady, if he's interested or not, and who he wants, does that have an impact? Because I think, you know, that has to be, you know, at least something you consider.
Right, and if you're an OC looking at the Titans, I'd be asking questions in my interview too about exactly that, right?
For sure.
What do you think about Kellen Moore? It was a weird timing on the firing for Kellen Moore. I've always thought he was pretty good.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, he's been a guy who's been mentioned for head coaching jobs, and he takes the fall for what was really a terrible year from Dak Prescott on a really good football team. I mean, every week, even the weeks we won it, we saw Prescott pull off, you know, bonehead turnovers. I mean, he kind of lost that Jacksonville game at the end of the year by himself. I mean, he blew it. And I like Dak, and I think Dak's a good player, but he had way too many mistakes this year on, you know, way too good of a football team. You hate to pin a season on one guy, but somebody took the fall, and it was the offensive coordinator. You know, there's a lot of people who don't think the world of Mike McCarthy, and understandably so, but Jarrah apparently is digging in his heels and not gonna let Tommy Boy take the fall for this one.
So I'm interested, like you said, Corey, there could be a lot of quarterback movement in the AFC this offseason, whether that's with Brady or Rodgers getting traded from Green Bay to the Jets or whatever it could be. What's the most intriguing quarterback storyline to you for this offseason?
The Titans, because that's the team I cover.
Not the Bears.
That's fair.
Bears going to trade Justin Fields?
You know, it doesn't sound like it, but I was going to bring it up because I just think it's really intriguing. If you think Bryce Young is Drew Brees, because that's kind of the comp I give him. You know, he's smaller, but he's accurate and he's smart and he can move. You know, and you think he can be that? You know, the Bears know what kind of passer Fields is better than I do, and so you know, you just have to decide, you know, where you're at. And also, is Fields, and look, Fields is freaking Derrick Henry at quarterback. He's huge. Is he sustainable playing that way? Because, you know, that we saw with Lamar Jackson this year. He goes down. And look, all quarterbacks go down. And I'm sure I'll be flooded with tweets about statistics about running quarterbacks versus not running quarterbacks getting hurt at this point. But when you put yourself in line to take more hits, you take more hits. That's all there is to it. And, you know, what if, you know, somebody came to the, you know, here's the other thing on that. I think that they'll get a better trade package for one than they would for Fields. And I think that may be the most important thing for them if they think Fields is, you know, Fields can be the guy rather than gamble on somebody else. They know what they got there, and if they feel good about it, they'll probably get more in a trade package for that pick. So that's probably going to be the way they go. But, you know, the old timers, Rodgers and Brady, are interesting. And it's what's really interesting to show you how important that position is the number of teams reportedly kind of clamoring at the opportunity to sign guys who are both over 40.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Where do you think? I mean, Jarrah, we haven't talked to you since Jarrah made his prediction. Tom Brady will be the Titans quarterback next year.
Yeah.
What say you on that?
We'd never know Jarrah to not be anything but 900% all in on something. I found that interesting because 3 years ago when he was leaving New England, I was all in on bringing Brady and Jadeveon Clowney here.
Oh, yeah?
I said, bring them both here, make a run. And I believe had Brady been here, they would have had a really good shot at going to the Super Bowl with that team that they had. I really do. Clowney obviously didn't work out, but Jarrah was against it. And now he's all for it, and the guy's 3 years older, which is incredible. But, like I said, Jared's always convicted, and that's great. I guess I just want to – I would need a two-year commitment from him. I can't just do one. I can't. And then they've got to look to the future. You know, who's going to be next? You know, look, I don't want to write off Malik Willis, but does anybody – I know there are fans who love Malik Willis, but did anybody see anything this year that led you to believe that he could be a starting quarterback in the National Football League?
It's hard to get there right now.
It is hard to get there right now, and I could be dead wrong. I hope I am. I hope he puts on a gold jacket one day. I really do. But when you see the processing of see it, read it, rip it, it just – wasn't there very often. And maybe that had to do with the coaching staff not putting him in the best spot, you know, doing what he's good at right now. I do not know. But, you know, we talk about it over and over and over again, guys. Getting there without the guy is really hard. Who played this weekend? Hurts, Burrow, Mahomes, and then the one team that – you know, the quarterback situation, the guy was playing great, but he got hurt, and they lost 31-7. I mean, it is that position. And I understand wanting the guy who's been to 44 Super Bowls and won 7 of them. And I understand the trepidation about taking a guy who's incredibly talented but only been to one somehow and saying, what's the disconnect here?
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always. Must listen to radio every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, and we'll talk to you next week.
That was a pretty amazing 15 minutes.
Awesome.
I'll just say these two magical words. You're welcome.
Yes. Nah. Yes. Thank you very much, Corey.
Nice.
We appreciate it. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on Conference Championship Weekend coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. It's Love Week here on 1025, The Game, brought to you by A Moment's Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. And we got a $100 gift card to Moments Peace Day Salon and a chance to register to be qualified for a chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. Be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you're caller number 5, you will win a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs and be qualified for a chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well for Love Week here on Robbie and Rex Road. 615-737-1025. Joe, happy Love Week to you.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know it was Love Week, but it's good to know.
It's good to know.
Love Plum Week.
Oh,
let me
yes.
do that.
Lots of thoughts continuing to roll in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, about your love for plums.
Plum
so
awareness.
We'll get to all that throughout the show, as well as the CTU 24 phone continues to ring here in the studio. Conference Championship Weekend is now concluded. The Super Bowl matchup is set. Kansas City taking on Philadelphia in the Super Bowl. Two games yesterday. One of them was a dud, unfortunately, Joe, when you look at the way that the 49ers and Eagles game played out. Brock Purdy goes 4-for-4 in that game and then gets hurt, and that was pretty much all she wrote for the 49ers after that. Josh Johnson came in. Not much going on offensively for the 49ers, although I thought, you know, when Christian McCaffrey scored the touchdown to make it 7-7, I was like, is Christian McCaffrey going to have one of those games where he just takes over and then all of a sudden he carries them along with him? Did not happen. Eagles win 31-7 yesterday, and then the Cincinnati-Kansas City game I thought was really good from start to finish. Wasn't the shootout that some thought it would be. The weather was cold. Kansas City gets it done 23-20. Lots of talk about the officiating after that game as well. What did you make of Conference Championship Weekend these past few days, or yesterday in the National Football League? As the phone continues to
is this going to happen the rest of the show? I'm going to have a hard time. I think Purdy, did he complete two more passes after he came back? But they were like 1 foot, you know, screens. Yeah.
Well, Jim Nance was talking about it on like the AFC broadcast yesterday. He was like, what if I told you that Brock Purdy would finish the game, would start and finish the game, and wouldn't throw an incompletion the whole time? What would you think about the game?
100% completion. 49ers in a landslide. Yeah, it's too bad. I think that could have been a very good game. The thing is, the Niners are still hanging in there. It's 14-7. And Josh Johnson just drops the snap.
Yep.
I'm gonna start trying to pattern my speech after the burr, burr, burr. Good God. Good stuff on a Monday. But that blew open the game. It's 14-7. Even if you just, yeah, kill a little clock punt and you go into halftime, you know, you put a little pressure on them as you go, and then they just blew it up. It's too bad. I thought we were going to have two great games. We had one. And, of course, a lot of talk about the officiating, but I'm with Corey. I think most of the calls they made that benefited the Bengals were correct. They did miss a couple big ones on the Chiefs there. And they had the weird thing with the clock, and they replayed third down. Someone on the text line says, stop saying you have to be smarter than Osai was. You're just trying to make a play. Didn't lose that game by himself. Burrow had a terrible pick. Got the ball back 2 minutes ago. Couldn't do anything. It's a team sport. Well, I agree, but
You can't push somebody a yard and a half out of bounds. Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah, I mean, so he does have to be smart. I mean, you can't make that play. And that play led directly to the winning play. So, of course, in a game, there are many things that that add up to wins or losses. But, I mean, how can you – I mean, that play was devastating.
I've never felt like more like Jack Bauer in my entire life, man. CTU bat phone ringing throughout the whole thing. LD from McMinnville says, are you guys in studio or in a 1980s doctor's office?
Fred from Ashland City. Burr, burr, burr. He's B-R-R-R-B-R-R-R-B-U-R-R-R-E-R-R-R-R-R-R. Good
Thank
job,
you.
Fred.
Thank you, Fred.
That's exactly correct in spelling.
Look,
corporate accounts payable. Nina speaking. Just a moment.
Just a moment.
Well done, John.
This is why the text line is great. We appreciate your text. 615-737. The fearless leader, the suit, has come in and solved the phone problem.
Wow. So he does it all.
He's just a stud.
Hey, Chase, I got some plumbing issues at home.
No, I thought the AFC title game was really good. And look, it's we talked about it earlier. For the those who think getting the one seed is a curse, you had the one seed in the AFC, you had the one seed in the NFC, both making it to the Super Bowl. And, you know, are these the two best teams? Probably. I don't know, man. I still think Cincinnati's really good. But these are you could certainly make the argument that these are the two best teams in the NFL. And anytime you get that in the Super Bowl, I think you'll sign up for it.
Yeah. You know, no one ever talks about Kansas City's defense, but Kansas City has a good defense.
They do.
Chris Jones playing at that level is a big deal. They actually were a little banged up in the secondary, but they've helped their secondary this year. They got younger and better, and it's a good defense. And obviously, Mahomes is the clear MVP to me, but it's a great quarterback matchup. And I think the Eagles, look, Jalen Hurts has proved me way wrong this year. I think you too.
Yep.
I still think that the Eagles – I mean, there's a clear mismatch, I think, at quarterback. If you just compare the quarterbacks, I mean, come on. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, someone made this point, and it's correct. It's his fifth year of starting, right?
Yep.
Is that right?
Every year they've, he started.
17 was a rookie. He sat behind Alex Smith, fifth year starting. If he retired right now, he's a Hall of Famer.
I agree.
I mean, that's outrageous. So there's the obvious edge there, but I think Philadelphia, take quarterback out of the equation, I think is clearly the best all-around football team in the NFL. And I think you can look at the Niners right up there with them, and you know you see what – you finally get down to QB4, and at some point it's like too much for you to handle, you know? But I also think the Eagles – it's going to be brought up a lot because we have 2 weeks, so everything's going to get brought up.
Yep.
But what the Eagles have done in terms of who they've beaten is something people are going to bring up. And look, it's – I mean, they handled the Vikings. They blew out the Giants. They beat the Cowboys. But they didn't play any of the good AFC teams this year. It's just how it worked out. They had to play the freaking AFC South. They did beat Jags. They beat the Jags. They beat the AFC South champion Jags. But that's a fair thing to bring up. I think if you've watched the Philadelphia Eagles play all year, yeah, they should be in the Super Bowl. They're that good.
They're pretty darn good. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on conference championship weekend. Are you rooting for A.J. Brown and the Eagles in the Super Bowl, or are you going with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. We are brought to you live from our 1025 game studio by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I would say, in some cases, some disappointment that our phone issue seems to have been fixed on the text line. In other cases, some rejoicing that our phone issues have been fixed on the text line.
Kind of a shame.
Yeah.
I was kind of digging it.
Nate said, a little disappointed Chase came to fix the phone. I was very intrigued to hear the rest of the show with the phone going off to display y'all's mental toughness. We are mentally tough on this program.
Yeah, I would have been talking like this.
Nothing phases us. 615-737-1025. So what do you think the Titan fan reaction is and will be for the next couple of weeks as A.J. Brown prepares to play in the Super Bowl his first year in Philadelphia? You've got A.J. Brown, you got Brad Kern, both now with the Eagles going to the Super Bowl in their first year with a new team. Obviously, we have hashed out the A.J. Brown trade from about every different angle you can hash it out. I did think about this last week and certainly last night as it became pretty clear that Philadelphia was going to win that game. I thought about, you know, what would our show be like today if John Robinson was still the general manager and he hadn't been fired, and in the first year after that trade, the Titans had lost 7 games in a row to close out their season and missed the playoffs, and A.J. Brown and the Philadelphia Eagles were going to the Super Bowl. I mean, it would just be – people would be yelling left and right about A.J. Brown, the trade, and all those things. Obviously, John Robinson's been fired. A lot of that at this point is kind of water under the bridge. So with all that kind of in the background, what do you think the reaction from Titans fans will be as A.J. Brown prepares to play in his first Super Bowl in his first year in Philadelphia?
Yeah, it would definitely be very different if he were still here. I mean, J-Rob is trending now.
Yeah.
So people are going back to that, but boy, would he be all of Twitter today.
He might be.
If he still had his job. And that's the thing. Let's say it just played out, went to the end of the season. I mean, we would be talking about, boy, he could really use an Eagles loss here. J-Rob could really use an L for Philly. And then today would be like, I mean, the wild thing is we just saw the Cowboys fire Kellen Moore randomly 2 weeks after the season ends.
Yeah. You know?
Would it be possible for J-Rob? And the thing is, we would have no reason to think that it would be possible because – Amy Adams Strunk had never been the rash firer of people that her dad was until she was in December.
Exactly.
As I've said, terrible, brutal mistake from the moment it happened. Also, you know, I think John Robinson would have a case to still have his job here. I also, as this goes on and advances, and if they win it all, that move, there's a lot of things that are involved in the Eagles being as great as they are, but that move is a huge part. You can't look at his production this year. I mean, could they have won it without him this year with just Devontae Smith and Goddard and all the other things they have? Yeah. But, man, it's a huge part of why they are where they are. So that comes back then. We talk about the deal, and you wonder if that deal ultimately – that one move, like, hurts John Robinson moving forward. I don't think it should that much, but it might. I mean, at this point, if he's not a GM again in the NFL, which I think he should, get another opportunity. I think there's a pretty good chance he gets another opportunity. But if he doesn't, like, you would look at that move and be like, that's the move that completely altered a career.
Yeah. I mean, look, A.J. Brown, we talked about this earlier. He's not done much of anything in the playoffs so far. I mean, the first game, I think he had 3 catches for like 22 yards, and he was like yelling at the end of the game on the sideline over there about not getting the ball. Yesterday, he had 4 catches for 28 yards. So it's not like he's done anything in the playoffs to this point. He hasn't had to. They totally destroyed the Giants, and yesterday they won 31-7 in the NFC title game. But, I mean, look at his season. He had 88 catches, 1,496 yards, and 11 touchdowns, and he was 4th in the league in receiving. Only Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, and Davante Adams had more yards than he did. I mean, he was a pretty gigantic part of why they're there.
Yeah, he's a great player.
He turned in, I mean, what did we hear after the trade last year? Well, look at his numbers. He's never had any of the numbers that would justify him being paid the amount of money he got paid.
And the answer was, watch him play football.
Well, and now the answer is, well, he's got the numbers now. He's a top 5 wide receiver in the league.
And he played all year. So the injury stuff, which, I mean, again, the injury stuff to me, that was the one thing I said, well, if you feel like, you know, he's not going to get past these nagging injuries, then that is a little different. But he seemed fine, which is, you know, another example of a guy leaving here, by the way, and having fewer nagging injuries. Liam says, I'd like to hire J-Rob with an apology just so we can fire him again.
Jeez.
Wow, Liam. Just kidding. You're fired.
John, welcome back. All right, you're fired. Thank you.
That felt good.
I do feel like this is an interesting question from like a psychological standpoint, because I do feel like there are some Titans fans that say, you know, I don't want to see A.J. Brown leave the Titans and then immediately go win a championship somewhere else. I also think there are Titans fans looking around and saying, oh my gosh, I'm so tired of Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs being in the AFC title game and now in the Super Bowl. This is his third trip to the Super Bowl in 5 years. Get somebody else in there. Like, I'd be interested to know, if you're a Titans fan, who you're rooting for in this game, because I can certainly see where, not only just with the Titans, I think this is the case. I think there's a lot of Chiefs fatigue that has set in and that is continuing to set in as they continue to have success and move further in the playoffs. And then from the Titans standpoint, if they win, it's A.J. Brown getting a Super Bowl ring and Brett Kern getting a Super Bowl ring. I think people are way less opinionated on the Brett Kern side of things, though.
Yeah.
I don't think too many people are like, a darn Kern. Hope he didn't go to the Eagles.
How dare you, you traitor. Yeah. Like him to have both the rings. Yeah. So, another aspect of this, which is a little different, but I think it's worth bringing up here because Chuck put this on the text line.
Okay.
Said the hardest part about watching Chiefs and Bengals play last night was knowing the Titans are nowhere close to either one of those teams right now. And my response was, interesting point, except the Titans nearly beat both of them this season, one on the road with Malik Willis at quarterback. You know, they played both those teams, and they both those teams got 20 points against the Titans.
Right.
So I just don't agree with that. I mean, that's the thing. As the Titans, and you look at all of this, you can make the case. You have to make, like, you have to go A, B, C, D and make all the right moves, but you can make the case that you can be back in here.
You can, but the bottom line is it's 2 years in a row where Cincinnati and Kansas City is in the AFC title game, and what do they have in common? They have the two best quarterbacks in the AFC. I mean, that's –
sure,
that's what it is. So, I agree. The numbers are what they are. I mean, the Titans almost beat Kansas City with Malik Willis at quarterback. Now, the Texans almost beat Kansas City, too. So, it's a one-game thing in the NFL. But the body of work, what does it look like? How close are they? Like, I do think the Titans have a good enough defense where if you can solve some things offensively, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be a different quarterback, but if you can solve some things offensively, i.e. your offensive line, and another weapon or two in there, you can compete. Now, what does compete mean? Like, how good of a shot do you feel like you have come playoff time if it's running it back with a better offensive line and a slightly improved receiving core? What does that mean?
If you have a great defense, that's the answer, because I think the Niners do, and ultimately yesterday didn't matter. I think the Eagles do. That's the thing. Like, the NFC is the model that the Titans are following. The NFC teams, the model, that's the Titans' model. The AFC teams, that's the Titans' problem.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, those guys are QBs. Chuck's response was, the Titans proved they were closer to being the team that got smoked by the Eagles than they are title contenders. Yeah. I mean, it's like, but then it's like, go to the last game. Team that actually competed okay with Kansas City, Jacksonville Jaguars. You should have beat them with Joshua Dobbs at quarterback. So, You can go back through everything and find enough ammo if you know to if you feel strongly either way. I look at everything and I say that's why the Titans could with an incredible offseason be back there. But it's just there's a lot of hits that have to happen.
It's a lot of hits that have to happen, and that's the thing about those two guys. Like, Cincinnati's offensive line, I know they invested in it, and it got better as the season went on. I mean, they were atrocious yesterday, and yet Joe Burrow still got him in the AFC title game, took him to a Super Bowl a year ago. I mean, Patrick Mahomes does not have a wide receiver that you would consider a superstar, and yet here they are back in the Super Bowl.
He does have
Travis Kelce as a superstar.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yesterday Kelce was – he's fine. He's good.
He didn't dominate the game.
I mean – it just goes to show you, to Corey's point earlier, I mean, a lot of it's about that position.
Yeah, if you have a guy like that, for sure. But also, I think, and it's the offense, it's the creativity, like it all goes hand in hand, you know. But look, I mean, like Mahomes basically individually beat the Titans in a game they were in control of in the.
Agreed.
But I don't think that of Burrow last year.
No.
And I'm not blaming Burrow for getting sacked nine times that game, but that game was given to the Bengals.
Yeah. I mean, totally. I mean, if your defense – like, the Titans should have won that game last year. I mean, then they would have had the AFC title game at home against Kansas City, a team that they had beaten – what was the score earlier that year? 27-3?
Right.
At home? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, translates to the next game, but to your point, the Titans had built up a good enough team where there's no question that they could compete with those teams and those quarterbacks.
And so,
can you do it again?
And like you said, Burrow still made big plays and everything, but he scored 20 points yesterday, right? 23-20 final?
Yep.
I think largely because The offensive line was not good enough. And you think about the Chiefs lost to the Titans last year. Offensive line overwhelmed. The Chiefs lost to the Bucs in the Super Bowl. That was about one thing. That was about the Bucs destroying their offensive line. Just saying, there's a lot of things here that tell you, do not underrate the importance of having an offensive line in the NFL.
No question about it. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. A quick birthday shout out to our friend Johnny, who listens every day in Western Canada. Johnny, happy birthday.
Hope happy birthday, Johnny.
Hope you get some sleep at some point, too.
Yeah.
Have a great birthday.
When do you sleep, Johnny?
Let us know.
Sleep on your birthday.
I think Johnny's on the YouTube chat right now. So let us know on Twitter or on YouTube. Happy birthday, Johnny. Appreciate you listening every day. By the way, we talked a lot today about the Eagles and A.J. Brown and Brett Kern. Brett Kern joining Chase and Michelle coming up at 10:30 later today, too. So you'll hear from NFC champion punter Brett Kern heading to his first career Super Bowl. That'd be cool.
Ask him if he's rooting for A.J. to... to get a Super Bowl ring.
Right. I think I could guess the answer on that. I want to ask about the punt in the camera string.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
He was looking around like, hey, that hit the wire. Nothing. Not a thing.
You know what's funny? After that, I looked at Ryan. I'm like, wow, Brett Kern, like, that was such a crappy punt. Like, he's usually really consistent.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait, what's going on? I was like, oops, spoke too soon.
Someone on the text line said Kern's going to send Stonehouse a Valentine if he gets a Super Bowl ring.
Maybe so.
Ask him about that, too.
It's kind of a split house right now on the text line, and I would describe it as if you're rooting for the Eagles or the Chiefs. Some say they're rooting for the Eagles because they're over the A.J. Brown stuff. Some say rooting for the Chiefs because Mahomes is likable and they can't root for A.J. Brown.
Yep.
There you go.
And I agree. That's the thing. I think there is Chiefs fatigue. But how do you not like Mahomes and Andy Reid, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Andy Reid's not a lot of negative opinions on Andy Reid.
Yeah, he's everybody's cool uncle that takes you for a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't think they're very unlikable. I mean, Kelsey
can work people.
Yeah, he'd probably be.
He's amazing.
He's a great player. And yeah, I mean, I love the trash talk, but he'd be someone that you don't like. Titans don't seem to like him very much.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he seems to like the Titans very much either.
Yeah.
Chris from Atlanta says, the one thing that I'm willing to look past with Chiefs fatigue is the fact that Tennessee Vol Trey Smith is going to the Super Bowl. This is from Chris from Atlanta.
There you go.
There is that. There is a Vol in this game.
Could have been a good pick for the Titans.
Been a nice pick.
No, it's a good pick for them. Good player.
Be nice to have him right now. It's not perfect, but it'd be nice to have him. Right now. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, we talked about this with the OC search earlier. Like, why are the Titans, if it's going to be Tim Kelly, why have they not hired Tim Kelly? Well, Corey brought up a good point earlier this hour. Like, if you're Rand Carthon, if you're Mike Vrabel, like, what's your plan at quarterback? If it's Ryan Tannehill, that's one thing. If it's not Ryan Tannehill, how much does whatever your plan at quarterback is, whether it's Tom Brady or someone else, how much does that factor into the OC that you hire? I mean, if it's Brady, you would think that Brady's going to want to have some say in who the OC is. If it's not Brady, then I don't know that I would really care about who's giving say in the offensive coordinator search if it's not Brady.
Yeah, and even I know we've talked about this, but there was some on the text line today about this too, the Rand Carthon input on that. I mean, to me, Vrabel's picking his coaching staff, right?
I agree. But if it's Brady, like I think that'd be a little different. Like Brady would want to have some input on the coaching hire, I would guess.
Yeah, he'd want to, but then Vrabel would want to be like, "Hey, well, do you want me to stuff you in that locker?
You may not get him."
Yeah, that's right. It's an interesting dynamic, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah,
it's one that he creates, and I'm not sure anybody else does.
Yeah, that. But that's just so. Because the thing is, I mean. I mean, first of all, any of these conversations that you would have along those lines, the OC is here long before there's any official recruiting of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So just randomly, Josh McDaniels leaves the Raiders to come here and be the OC. Then you'll have your scoop.
Maybe so. I got a texture that says, wouldn't mind seeing Dane Cruikshank's firstborn son, Travis Kelce, get a second ring.
Nice.
Dane Cruikshank, the kryptonite to Travis Kelce.
Legendary.
He did a great job in that game.
Right. And it was like five snaps. But, yeah. he bumped him physically at the line.
Yeah.
And also, the Titans' pass rush was on Patrick Mahomes in about 0.8 of a second that entire day.
Got a texture that says, Eagles have got to win. I don't want to see Jackson Mahomes dancing on social media.
I feel like he's kind of under the radar now, huh?
I feel like either I haven't seen it as much or like somebody's looked at him and be like, hey, dude, chill out a little bit with TikTok videos.
Guys, yeah. I actually thought the same thing yesterday, so I went ahead and checked the TikTok.
Oh, boy.
We haven't gotten one since the Chiefs' last game. Not yesterday, but the one before.
Oh, okay.
So he did put out a TikTok after the last win.
Yeah, on the 21st.
Was it him dancing and doing dumb stuff?
It was him sitting and doing like a dance. Oh, it was a little uncomfortable.
All right, yeah, I'm going for the Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah, but they haven't gotten it under control.
Fly, Eagles, fly, baby.
Yeah, that's a big, go Birds. That is a big unlikability factor with the Chiefs.
I did wonder like if Patrick Mahomes set him down. I was like, hey, man, maybe not on the field. Maybe just do it, somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or not at all. But that's the day and age we live in.
Or you're allowed on the TikTok. Your allowance will be cut down by 20%.
Maybe so. I'm not kidding you. I know people that root against the Chiefs for no other reason than that. Like people that otherwise don't really care about football, they're like, yeah, I can't root for the Chiefs. Can't do it.
Absolutely. By the way, this reminds me of Michelle sending us the TikTok of Lane Kiffin and his daughter. Landry Kiffin.
Yeah.
What's up with Lane Kiffin? It was terrible on that.
Yeah, it was really bad.
If you're going to do the
awkward
TikTok, you got to fully embrace it. I mean, I guess that's what you could say for Jackson Mahomes. Like, he embraces it.
That
he gets
is
in
true.
There.
Yeah. He brings energy to it. Lane, that was terrible. If you haven't checked it out, folks, check it out. Landry Kiffin on TikTok. How old is Landry Kiffin?
I have no idea.
Maybe that's middle, high school? I don't know.
No idea. That's the deciding factor on who you're rooting for in the Super Bowl is your thoughts on Jackson Mahomes. His TikTok dances.
I mean, I totally forgot about it, and I got to say, I mean, like, it can change how you think about it.
No question about it. So, I do wonder, for the OC point of view for the Titans, are you waiting on somebody that's now in the Super Bowl, or, as Corey brought up earlier this hour, was there somebody that you wanted to talk to that was either eliminated yesterday in San Francisco or eliminated yesterday in Cincinnati? I don't know off the top of my head who those people would be, but does that factor into your OC search if you're the Titans? And like you said earlier, Joe, I would not read into them not making a hire at offensive coordinator yet as confirmation that Tim Kelly's not going to be the guy. But I do think, like, if it was as simple as Vrabel having it in his mind the whole time, Tim Kelly's going to be our offensive coordinator, like, why would you not have done that by now? Like, I think if that was the decision, you could have come to it by now.
Yeah. Now, you do have to – I mean, you have to go through interviews.
You do.
You have to satisfy the Rooney Rule.
You do. Which I have no idea whether or not they've
done.
That's
the thing. The lack of, first of all, teams – I'm trying to think. Teams definitely confirm the GM – I guess they don't. The teams aren't confirming OC interviews. Yeah, so never mind.
They're
going to say. Because is that just head coach and
GM?
Head coach and GM. Yep. Yeah. So, but agents absolutely want it out there whenever a client interviews for a job. So I think we're probably going to hear about some Titans interviews this week for OC. There's going to be some new names potentially that emerge there.
Maybe they'll interview Luke Steckel. He's been interviewed by the Chargers. Has not been hired by the Chargers, but has been interviewed by the Chargers.
Could be. Kellen Moore is out there now.
He's an intriguing name.
I forgot to ask Chase when he was in here trying to blow our show up with the phones what he thought of Kellen Moore as OC.
Sabotage.
Have Kern ask him what he thinks of Kellen Moore when you guys have Kern
on. Ask the question. Yeah, I don't know. Like, could Kellen Moore be an option for the Titans? I don't think so. I don't know that it's certainly a different system that they run.
Sure.
It may not matter if you're Mike Vrabel, but Who knows? He's now available randomly.
The Kansas City interest tells me that they're open to different ideas, which I think is good.
I think that's good, too. We'll see what happens on that front this week. That'd be a lot of what do you think is the more discussed storyline heading into the Super Bowl? Is it the Kelce brothers, or is it Andy Reid used to coach for the Philadelphia Eagles? There's going to be a lot of both. I wonder which one's going to take the cake there.
I don't know which one of those will get more annoying. I'd say probably the Kelce brothers, right?
Probably so. I don't know.
Their mom's jersey is just kind of weird. I don't know why. I'm not a big fan of it.
I agree, but even Jim Nance last night in the trophy presentation started off, he's like, well, you know, Philadelphia's on the other side. He's like, okay, great. It was a decade ago, man, but sure.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, that'll still be a lot, but that's kind of an interesting. I mean, that is more interesting to me than – I understand this is like the first brothers that have played each other. That's cool. But the Reed thing, you know, and like when he left Philly, think about – I mean, again, before he won it, the Andy Reed, it was kind of like Rick Barnes. It's like, wow, great guy. Everybody likes him. Great coach, great teams. Chokes in the postseason. Yep. That's exactly what people say about Rick Barnes. So maybe – this is a little bit of a hint that Rick Barnes is going to take it all this year, folks.
He has a team that's
good enough to do it.
Finish with college basketball.
Thank you.
That does it for us today. Chase and Michelle coming up next. They'll have Brett Kern coming up at 10:30 as well. So make sure you're tuned in for that. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.